Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody. It's good to be back. It's been a little bit, almost about a month now, since we've been back. We've done a lot of traveling, but it is always good to be back with this local church family. Just like I said, a little update. We've kind of made a joke about Sundays this month. We've been progressively getting closer back to home. We were in Florida, then we were in Alabama, we were down in South Del Rio, now we're here, and then we're going back home the first Sunday of February for a long time. So we're excited to be there, but we're very excited to be here with you all this morning. But this morning we've been talking about this question. Is gone? Now, am I a member? Am I a member? Am I an active member in my local church? Or maybe a better question is, what is my role? What is my role in the church? Before I get into this, though, I actually wanted to make one more comment on what Mike was saying at the beginning. The encouragement he gave about the singing tonight. Unfortunately, you all don't get to generally get the blessing of this from being up here, but I promise you, if you think your voice isn't good, when you're standing up here, you can't hear it. It all sounds marvelous and fantastic. So, no matter what your voice sounds like, come, because it sounds amazing when you put it all together. So with that, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 14. It reads, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason, any less, a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason, any less, a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body at just as he desired. If there were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or then the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." It's a very interesting passage. And actually, at this time, there was a Roman fable that went around that had a similar tale to this, or a similar idea of what Paul is talking about here. It reads, "There came a day when man's members did not all agree with themselves, but each had its own ideas and a voice of its own. The other parts thought it unfair that they should have the worry and the trouble and the labor providing everything for the belly, which Hiccup was rather lazy. They then conspired together that the hands should carry no food to the mouth, nor the mouth accept anything that was given to it, nor the teeth grind up what they received, while they sought in this angry spirit to starve the belly in submission. The members themselves and the whole body were reduced to the utmost weakness. Hence it had become clear that even the belly had no idle task to perform, and was no more nourished than it nourished the rest." This is not a good problem to have. When your body goes to war against itself, it is quite painful, it's quite sad, and I think many of us have either experienced it, seen it, or have felt it. When your body goes to war on itself, when parts tend to stop working or start having problems, it's a terrible feeling. And it breaks our hearts to see our loved ones go through with these these problems. But Paul here in 1 Corinthians has left us really good food for thought on how to prevent this from happening in our local church. So we have to ask ourselves, what's going on here? What's happening in Corinth that's driving this around? It's actually easy if you want to put a modern spin on it. Imagine Corinth is like Dallas. There's a lot going on here. And Corinth, there were thousands and thousands of people. It's a big economic center of trade. And also, in Corinth, there was many, many, many different types and ways to worship various deities. And you see that here in our culture. So many different flavors of churches, of different other religions there. You can just about find anything you want in Dallas or in Fort Worth to go and worship in whatever flavor you want. And the Corinthian brethren had this kind of problem coming out of all of that and coming into this unifying presence before God. And in this chapter, Paul specifically is addressing their issue with spiritual gifts. That the church here had become so enamored with spiritual gifts that it's causing even more divisions in the church. Because some are feeling ignored. They might be feeling left behind because their gifts, or lack of, are being overshadowed by those with more public-facing gifts. So earlier in the chapter, he actually reads and references these gifts. Starting verses 6 through 10, it says, "There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and other various kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of these tongues." Again, we see wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, connection to spirits, tongues, interpretations. What's interesting is the first three that are listed here, these are what you may be considered kind of the background gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, and faith, but in all reality, these are the most important ones. But yet people are feeling that those gifts are being kind of left behind and overshadowed because, well, I don't have something that everyone else can see and everyone else can participate in. And their gift and their role is so important. These gifts, they're supposed to help to impart a consistent understanding of the Word of God. These were tools for edification, proof to the world that what is here, what these men are teaching, they're saying, what the people believe, it is the truth. It is the life. But it's been spoiled. It's been corrupted. And it's now creating this hierarchy of honor within the church. And Paul uses the illustration later in that chapter to make a few important points about their lack of unity and why it's so important that they need to have unity. He first begins with verse 14 through 20 saying, everybody has a role. And this is true to us in this day. Everyone has a role. Look at verse 18 specifically. He says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. Everyone has a role. We all have roles that have been assigned to us. This church, this local fellowship, it's not mindless. It's not directionless. I think it's very evident of seeing how the men and women work together in this church. You're not mindless and directionless. Everyone here plays an important role in the 100% functioning life of this local church. And we need to figure out what our roles are in this congregation and how to best facilitate that role. But most importantly, to not let my role or my talents, my gifts, either overshadow or even sadly be laid idly by and ignored. Just as everyone has a role, each role is important. I'm going to expound for a second upon Paul's illustration that he gives here. What would happen if we had no hands, but instead had feet? We had 4 feet. Or no eyes, instead we had 4 ears. We would look ridiculous. Our function would be, who knows what we would be? It'd be so obsolete, so strange. Instead of hands, how would you pick things up? How would you function throughout the day if you could not see? I don't think any of us would move anywhere. If you were stood in an ugly, dark room or cavern, you're afraid to move because you don't know what's going to be there. You can hear, but you're going to run in and stub your toe on everything you find. Just because what you think you do seems insignificant, that does not mean it's true. Yes, some of us cannot carry a tune in a bucket. Some of us don't have the ability to keep a steady beat. Some of us may have truly crippling stage fright. Or your voice might be too soft. Or just naturally too loud, and it turns people off. You might not have the patience to teach little children or even adults for 40 plus minutes. But there is some important things that all of us in this church have. There's important roles that each and every one of us have. Facts. Here's the first one. Facts. I know that each and every one of you have a powerful and open listening ear. That is a fact. Here's another one. Fact. You all have empathetic hearts. Hearts that reach out to one another. To share each other's loads. That care for one another. That is a fact. Fact. There is deep and enlightening wisdom and advice here in this local church. So you'll listen, I have been blessed when we're here with you all to benefit from some of the wisdom and advice that we get from the members here out of love. And most importantly, fact. There's so many benevolent hearts here and in this church. Those are 4 important facts that sometimes might be overlooked. Just because your part in this body might not be something exposed or on the outside does not mean that your role is not important. It does not affect each and every one of us in this room. So here's a challenge. Find your role. Challenge for today, challenge for the week. Find your role. Sit and meditate. Think about, what is my role in this local family? What is my role in where I'm at, where I'm working, the people I interact with? And when I find out what my role is, how can I bring the best honor to my Heavenly Father and to my brethren that fit into this role? Here's a few examples. They're not limited, not defining. Men. Leading in godly ways here, and most importantly in the home with your families. Our ladies, acts of service, the things you do outside of the church here, the assembly here, you tend to be a lot better than the guys are at those things, and it stands out. It sticks out. To our young people, your attentive listening ears, that's an important role. To our singles that are here in the crowd, spending the extra time that you have teaching others, serving others. Back home, we have a young lady. She's in a situation where she's never been married. Doesn't seem to have any hard interest in that at the moment. But instead takes her time and spends it with families who have many, many children. And acts like a secondary mother for them. And going out of her way to help supplement the parenting. And letting the parents go out for dates. During worship service, sitting with them, keeping 2 or 3 of them occupied and focused on what's going on. Supplementing the parenting there. That's an important role that can be overlooked sometimes. That shouldn't be. That helps out so many different people. And to the married ones in this group, the raising and helping to raise and see God-fearing children. They say it takes a village to raise a child, and that's true, especially in the church. I know I wouldn't be the person I am today without having all of the parents, mothers and fathers that I've called adopted to me, beyond my actual adopted parents, to help raise me and help guide me. It's important that a village works together. This family works together to raise our young in God-fearing ways. And there are some specific roles, too, that show up. We see with elders. This group doesn't have elders right now. But I know you'd like to have them again. And that's not something you just hope for. It's not something you idly sit by. It's something that you work for and work towards in the future. Elders, they're given feet to lead. They're setting out the path for the congregation, giving it direction. As they stand as shepherds, they're looking, their eyes are looking to see the dangers that are out there and dangers that could be coming in to attack a local family. They've got the ears listening to the problems and the issues with each and every person, taking it upon their hearts to help guide. And most importantly, a heart that cares for this flock. I'm not envious of that role. I'm not jealous at all that those men have that role. In fact, I give great respect to men that carry the role and title of elder, because they do not have an easy job. But here's something that this group can definitely see. Teachers. Teachers and preachers. This group has a lot of those. I'm very, very impressed by this congregation that has this. Teachers and preachers that have mouths and tongues to speak, that have ironed out and are constantly working and developing those talents and those gifts on how to speak. The mind and brain, the intelligence to study the Bible and to process and to ingest what they're reading so they can deliver it back to help encourage the audience and the listeners. What about a man who lead in the worship? They've got a strong voice to lead. You all carry a strong voice, not just in your songing, not just in your speaking, but in your prayer, in your scripture reading. These are things that shouldn't be overlooked. Very important roles, what we do. To our ladies, you're given some great examples in the Bible of roles you can fill. Look over at Acts chapter 9. Throughout all Paul's letters, he writes about three specific instances of ladies who have done some important things. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 talks about Tabitha, or if you go with her Greek name, Dorcas. Said this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Dorcas is the example of benevolence, going out of her way to provide, not just for her brothers and sisters there, but for all the people in the community. And when she died, it was great mourning and sadness because she passed away. Or Romans chapter 16 and verse 1 talks about Phoebe. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who's a servant in the church, which is in Chacrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, that you may help her in whatever matter she may have in need of you. Phoebe's a helper of Paul. He's sending her out to help support this congregation, to encourage them, to build them up. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it's within you as well. Two ladies who took it upon themselves to teach a young man, to set the examples for this young man who would eventually become Paul's protege, furthering on the gospel after Paul is gone. It was two ladies, his mother, his grandmother, who helped instill that in their lives. Ladies, you have very important roles as well. These roles, all of them, come with serious responsibilities that cannot and should not be taken lightly. but also our role is not set in stone. We talked about a little bit in class of how as we grow, if things change and they develop, that's also set true with our roles. As we grow and as we age in our lives, our roles are going to change. Young people, right now, your role might be, instead of having an exposed presence here, it may be that you need to be protected by the outer parts of this local church body. As we age and as we mature, our roles as young people may change to that of mentors, of teachers, of preachers, of deacons, possibly even elders as you get older. But these things start at a young age, and they need to be defined and shaped, and people help them set on paths to grow that for the future. Our young people are both our future and our present. So make sure we remember that. Make sure that they and we are remaining active in our local church growth, in our mature growth, down that path. To our older folks, and I'm not going to define where that's at. You define that for yourselves. You know what your roles have been throughout your lives. You've lived them, and I can tell you, based on what I see here, you live them out splendidly. But as the twilight years begin to come, your roles may have changed from the more outward-facing part to that maybe of the stage, of someone to come to for guidance and advice. You have traveled throughout your Christian walk, here and other places, for a long time. There are many things you've gathered, many experiences you've lived that I maybe never caught on to, maybe someone else your age has never been a part of, that you can sit and help others to grow and to guide. There are things that you know, ways to prevent wounds from opening up in the body that will allow the infection of sin and Satan to come in and into this church. Don't treat that role idly. It's a very important role. And all of those in between, whether you fall the young, the older, in the middle, it's your prerogative. You are most likely going to be the active parts of this local body. So you need to make sure that we take time to slow down a little bit. And make sure that the rest of the fellowship that's here, that's not being left behind, that's being looked after, you're holding their hands and keeping them up, and you're defending them ever so strongly. And that same idea, we cannot leave anybody behind. We cannot leave anybody behind. I'll read that section again, verse 21 through 26. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or from the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, there is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. A body does not last long when its parts are being dispersed among a large space. I think that's pretty evident and pretty understanding by how just nature and biology works. You leave an arm behind, you're probably not going to go on very well. But if we open ourselves up, if we open this local body up and put wounds, gashes, they're going to cause many problems. Things you got to avoid. You see organ failure. How long can you go for just one of your essential organs begin to fail? How long can you go for if your kidneys shut down? A couple weeks without getting any help? Your liver? A few days? Your heart? Not long at all. What about what we maybe call the non-essential organs? When I was in eighth grade, my appendix ruptured. It was in me for 3 days like that. We didn't know that's what the problem was. And whenever we finally got it taken care of, gangrene, it said. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and they said if we had waited a couple more days, I probably would have died. It was bad. It was scary to feel and think this little organ that we really don't even medically know what the purpose of anymore is. This one little thing could almost shut down my entire body, a body of a very healthy, fit eighth grader. Shut down and gone like that. We make sure that we're doing consistent checkups on our brothers and sisters, those who make up all of the body parts, all of the organs to this congregation. Checking up on them to make sure that there's no sickness there. There's no problems. But the structure remains strong. It remains sound. But when we talk about organ failure, open wounds. Those are ones that hurt the most right then. We begin to separate from one another. We open up ourselves, just like we cut ourselves, to sin, the infection of sin and bacteria. And while when our body is working in harmony together, foreign objects that come in are generally easily taken care of. They're destroyed, expelled. But when we've separated ourselves and or opened ourselves up for wounds to organ failure, those little foreign bodies that come in tear apart. If we become too lax, too relaxed, stop looking and caring out for one another, just one thing can come in. We can tear apart this beautiful, beautiful family that's here. Think about that for just a moment. It's why it's so important that we stand together, that we are bonding to one another, that we're sharing with each other and keeping each other strong and healthy. We need to make sure that separating is not good. We need to be aware of separating ourselves from the assembly. It's one thing of getting accidentally cut off and forgotten. But when we purposely separate ourselves, when we come in and say, I don't need you all anymore. I'm going to go do my own thing. It's like cutting off a hand. It hurts. And it's going to maim and cause a lot of problems for the future functioning of the body. Don't separate yourself. Because when you cut off the hand, what's going to happen to the hand? It's going to die. It's going to rot away. It's going to get lost. And the rest of the body will mourn. Why is this talk about the body so important? Because it's a gift. The local body is a gift from our Heavenly Father. Go back to the first verse. Love this verse in the second. It's one of the key verses for here. It says, Now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. God has arranged His church in a very specific way. He knows what works. And He knows how to help us function at what we call peak efficiency. The best way it's going to be done. And that everyone is important and plays a significant role. That no part of the body can just be sitting idly by doing nothing. Every single one of us has a job to do. We all have roles to do, and you're not fulfilling that role. You're letting the rest of the body down. And thirdly, He wants this arrangement, this body, to remain His way. Again, what would it be like if we had 4 feet instead of hands and feet? If we had all ears and no eyes? We wouldn't do anything, really. We'd kind of be useless. The church is God's design. He made it perfectly and with a very specific purpose in mind. Let us make sure that this church, or any church family that we go to be a part of in the future, that it is done and remains functioning His way. Am I a member? Am I treating my role correctly? If you haven't been, but you feel like you need to actually finally become a true part of the body, to become a member of this local congregation, to be brought back into its membership, we offer this chance now as we stand, as we sing.